Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
And Adam's not.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles in Studio One on the buttons. So we just completed our Christmas season, and there's a lot of Christmas traditions. One of our Christmas traditions in our family is my grandfather and grandmother. When my grandfather was alive, they would both sit in front of all of our family. Mm-hmm. And they would give this like inspirational Catholic like speech, you know, like,
really?
Yes. Before we did presents, before anything else, before dinner, before anything, they would sit down. The whole family would sit.
When they were done, did you like charge out of the room?
You kind of felt,
yeah.
You felt inspired. Yeah. It was very inspiring. They would sit down.
Let's go.
They would talk about the importance of, you know, family, the importance of being together, the importance of prayer life, the importance of, you know, husband and wife staying together. I mean, they would just like always just like, bam, right in your kisser, you know, I mean,
pow, right in the kisser.
Yeah. And my grandfather has passed away, but my grandmother has carried on this tradition.
Oh, nice.
And this last year, and let me tell you, my grandmother is probably the holiest person that I know.
Yeah, besides me.
No, bar none.
I'm just kidding.
She is the standard, the epitome of like Catholic grandmother.
To the max. Yeah,
to the max. And she starts off.
The Catholic card game was actually made about her.
About her.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the best.
Yeah.
And she starts off by saying that, you know, the importance of forgiveness, the importance of husband and wife not going to bed angry at each other, the importance of we're starting a new year, that we should seek Christ's mercy and that we should make sure to repent of any sins that we have, and the importance of making sure to say sorry to your family and not going into the new year holding any grudges, being upset with anybody, offending anybody, starting the new year clean.
Nice.
And then she said, and this is like what caught me.
And then she said, I'm looking at you, Adam.
Yeah. No. Then she said, with that in mind, I am deeply sorry for anything that I've ever done to you that may have offended you, that may have inconvenienced you, that may have caused you scandal. Anything that I have done, I am incredibly sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just hit me hard because, I mean, I thought she was preaching to me, like, you know, to the family, like, guys, this is what you should be doing. But she led by example and said, like, no, this is what we should be doing. And so I am so sorry.
So how come you're not recording the annual Minahan homily?
Well, apparently I need to start doing this. So in her footsteps, I would like to apologize to both Juan and Dave. And anybody in this household, anybody listening right now, anything that I've ever offended or brought scandal or upset or any did not do my due diligence of any kind, I apologize. We're going to start 2020, a holy year.
Sweet.
And a year of forgiveness.
Sweet.
And
it's going to be awesome.
So, but my grandmother just knocked it out of the park.
Well,
it was just like, there was very few dry eyes.
I was going to ask that, but I kind of figured the answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
sweet.
I say that
it's a good Christmas tradition. We started one this year that I heard somewhere just about. It's real easy. Before you open presents, just read the
The nativity narrative. Oh, yeah. We do that.
From Luke. It's like, man, yeah. It's obvious.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, you should definitely do
just
it.
Just as a quick reminder, before we just shred these presents. Yeah. Remember, let's just throw Jesus a bone or you know, something. It's not a big, like,
right.
It's not like it's huge, but, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. So I say that also because I think that there's probably other people that are probably like me who may have been holding a grudge, may have been, you know, offended somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to them. I doubt it.
I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there.
Reach out to them.
Who's done that.
And start the new year with a clean slate of conscience.
Nice.
So.
I like it.
But speaking of clean, our glasses are clean right now.
A little too clean.
A little too clean. This evening, I am so excited about this. So before we actually talk about the Dalmore Portwood, I've actually... So let's talk about the baby bottle really quick. I think we've talked about it on the show before, but it's worth revisiting.
Okay.
Dave, Juan, and I have a tradition. This is a tradition that...
Can you pour while you talk?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes.
I mean, I
can do more than one thing at a time. So Dave, Juan, this is a tradition that you guys could start as well. But Dave, Juan, and I started a tradition. Who began this tradition? Whose idea was this?
I don't know.
It was Juan's?
With the Macallan 12.
With the Macallan 12? Okay.
Juan started it.
Well, all good traditions are started by Juan, so I believe that. What we do is we buy a bottle of scotch and we buy a nice one. We buy like one that we can't really afford by ourselves, but we all three go in together, and so that way we can buy a really nice bottle. Anytime that we have one of our wives have a child, we get together and we drink a bottle of scotch and we smoke a cigar. And what we do, Juan, if you'll go to my camera really quick, what we do is wherever we end the evening, we draw a line on the bottle and write the name of the child above it. So that way we know where, like, you know, what we did, how much we drank, and like for what child. And then we keep the bottles afterwards. It's kind of a cool keepsake. And so we were trying to figure out what baby bottle are we going to do? What whiskey are we going to have for this next round of babies that we're all having? And I kept throwing out there Dalmore. Dalmore's like one of my, both Balmore and Dalmore are two of some of my favorites. And Juan was over in Abu Dhabi and he bought a bottle and epically did not come home with it. That's a story for another time.
Another time. Maybe never.
And so tonight, maybe never. Tonight, after our recording, we're going to go have a drink and a cigar.
Yeah.
Of Balmore.
Le bottle de baby.
18 year.
That's French that I made up.
Nice. You basically speak French.
I basically speak French.
But we were going back and forth between Balmore and Dalmore, and
let's just have both tonight.
And so I said, I kept thinking about it. I was like, no, I'm just going to get Dalmore tonight. So we're going to have both tonight. Dalmore is what we're having on the show.
Life is rough on the Catholic Man show.
Dalmore is what we're going to have as a baby bottle. So Dalmore, the Portwood finish, or Portwood Reserve is what it's called. Do you want to, let's cheers and then I'll let you read the taste.
Cheers. Cheers.
One of the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Okay. So on the aroma, this is according to the box, it says sweet red berries.
Well, hold on, because it's Richard Patterson, who is the master distiller of Dalmore.
Right. But this is just what the box says. And I'm sure this, when you said
according to the box, it kind of sounded condescending, and it's like, listen, Richard Dalmore is like the nose.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes though, like if it's on the box, you know, they're gonna try to like spruce up their own tasting notes, you know.
Okay.
Because it's,
but he has a rep to keep.
They're marketing. It's marketing.
Sure, but he has a rep to keep.
Sure. But even him, still.
Right.
He's gotta market it the right way. That doesn't mean it's wrong. But who could say that anyone's tasting notes are wrong in the first place?
It's very subjective.
You know? But so we've got sweet red berries, Seville oranges.
This is the aroma?
Plummy fruits. This is all in the nose. And sticky toffee pudding. I don't prefer my toffee pudding sticky.
You definitely get the sweet berries, the plum.
Yeah.
But I also...
It is delicious, though.
Well, and you would imagine...
In the mouth, it's delicious. In the mouth.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. You would imagine being a Portwood finish that it would have the berries, the plums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
smell to it. So I think what it had originally, it was in
some of that plumminess,
ex-bourbon barrels, and then they finish it in the port wood.
Right, right. So then it says on the palate, nectarines, creamy caramel, roasted chestnuts, and Java coffee. The finish is sultanas. I don't know what that is. Sanguinello blood oranges and macerated cherries. Whoa. There's some difficult things to pronounce here at the very end. I don't know if I said any of that right, but what's sultanas?
I smell a lot. I smell chocolate in there.
Do you smell chocolate? Yeah, I did too. I did too.
Haley actually picked up on the chocolate notes as well.
No. Adam.
Well, she...
Don't.
Okay, never mind. Disregard. Somebody who else drank this this evening told me that they picked up on chocolate notes as well.
There are other people who may have done that.
Right.
I like it's got a nice finish. Nice, it's, you know, nice long finish.
Mm-hmm.
Good quality of a good scotch.
Dalmore for a Highland is it? Dalmore is probably my favorite Highland whiskey.
You know what? I forget it's a Highland because it's so complex.
It is. It's extremely complex,
and that's unfair. I know that that's unfair of me to generalize Highlands that way,
right?
As if they're not complex.
Because Macallans are pretty complex.
Yeah, yeah. I shouldn't say that. That's, you know what? There's my apology.
Right.
Is that I'm sorry for saying the thing I just said.
Good, Joe.
Thank you.
So there's a stag. So the stag is kind of the emblem on the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the bottle. Thank you. Juan is getting so good. Like, I don't even have to tell
he's
him anymore.
He's on it.
He's already there.
It's ridiculous.
So there was that. The tradition is that the family, there's a McKenzie family who saved King Alexander the Third, and he saved him from a 12-point buck.
That was going to kill him.
That was going to kill him.
Yeah.
And because of that, the king said, you now can have this on your family crest. The family now, then,
nice.
Through the years.
Well, the king had probably been killing a lot of the Stag's family, so you can understand the resentment. Yeah.
And then when the family ended up owning the distillery, they used that stag as the emblem. So
nice.
Anyway, when we get back, we'll jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada in the house. We're talking about me today on the Catholic Man Show because they call me the Godfather.
This isn't a segment.
That's our topic, though, for today.
Okay.
That's just a sneak peek.
Oh, okay.
I'm just previewing.
You're making the offer they can't refuse.
I'm previewing it for everybody.
Gosh, I was hoping we wouldn't.
Plus, we have to talk about that before we talk about the man gear.
Right.
We're also getting ready to do Exodus 90. It starts in the morning.
Yes.
We're recording this on Sunday. It starts the next day. If you're on the podcast, we're already like we're a couple cold showers in by now.
And we're trying to figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
By the time you're listening.
I'm just wondering, like, physically, if I will survive a cold shower. I don't know, like, will I die? Sometimes.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
So I'll tell you, I turned it cold the other day. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
So in an act of self-preservation, I turned it back hot.
Yeah. Well, so there's a couple things that we've decided with Exodus 90. We said that we would make an exception for drinking on the show.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to bore everybody.
We'll do a couple weeks with no drinks. I mean, we can do that. Well,
sure.
We can have water one day or something.
We can have espresso.
Yeah.
Now that I have an espresso machine.
It says, though, black coffee.
Espresso is black coffee.
Is it? That counts as black coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just concentrated coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can do that.
Yeah. So.
What was that? What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of
a latte.
Yeah.
That adds
a latte.
Milk.
Yeah.
But it says
you can have milk, too.
Yeah. So you're good. We can have lattes.
Well, you can separate them. Why not put them together?
Yeah. Might as well.
It also doesn't say anything about baths. It says cold showers, but it doesn't say after you take your cold shower, you can't take a nice hot bath.
Hey, have you ever gone back and listened to some of like our really old episodes and listened to like, wow, that was what was going on in our life at that time?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so I'm I'm saying this only for
it's part of your penance.
No, only for future, because I want to make sure I remember this.
Yeah,
because this was something hilarious that Jude did that I have to remember this.
Okay,
so this has been a really rough week in the Minahan house. Yeah. I don't know if you know this. You do know this. Actually. I know. Juan, you may not. I don't know, but Anna Faustina is we're in the midst of potty training, which has been messy. Jude got sick.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Not related.
Actually, no, not related, but yeah. They got sick. So Jude has been throwing up and he screams right before he throws up, like all little kids do, right? I guess, I don't know. I mean, they don't know what's happening. They know something's happening. Okay. And so anyway, so he throws up, he screams, he throws up. My wife is in there with him as they're walking back out. You know, he's all sick and he sits down on the couch. My wife is like, trying to get everything cleaned up. And Haley walks back into the living room, and Lucas is sitting there in the living room with him. Mm-hmm. Anna's in there as well, and Jude goes bleh! Like that and made the throwing up sound. And my wife comes running in, and Jude starts cracking up and goes, "I made her think that I was throwing up," and he was not. He was like, so even when he was sick, he was trying to play a prank.
Gotcha, mom.
Yeah, I'm trying to play a prank on mom.
Sucker.
Yeah, and I was like, oh man,
so easy.
Yeah, and I thought, man, if he did that to me, oh man, I'd be so mad. But Haley took it.
But because it was to your mom.
Haley took it very gracefully.
Pretty funny.
She was.
Were you there when it happened, or did you hear about it later?
No, Haley told me about it. And so anyway, it was just so funny to hear that story of, like, even when he was super, super sick, he thought.
You should journal about
this
it, bro.
This would be a good. Yeah, I should add that to my journal.
Put it in the journal.
This would be a fun prank on my mom.
Okay, so our man gear today is, what do you call it? Firewood sling,
firewood carrier.
Carrier.
That's what I would call it.
Okay, nice.
My wife got me one for my birthday. When I think it was my birthday. Anyway, she got me one for an occasion.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, I was almost a little offended because, like, listen, I don't need a purse to carry my firewood.
Right.
You know, I will just put this on my bicep.
Have you seen these guns,
yeah,
babe?
And just hold the wood in my arms.
That's what I always do.
So I thought, like, you know, hold on a minute.
Yeah, and I try not to crush it, you know, in the vice that is my biceps. I'm just trying to make sure I bring logs inside and not sawdust. You know what I'm saying? Am I right?
Yeah. And so, but I was like, you know, Haley bought it for me. I'll start trying to use it. See if I like it. Turns out it's way better than.
You can carry a lot more firewood. And you don't, your coat's not covered in like wood. Little wood, you know,
you don't have a trail of wood or dust coming in.
Doesn't do that thing where one of them starts to get off balance. And then, like, two logs that, like, go in different directions. You know what I'm saying? And you can't.
Right.
Yeah, I hate that.
So
the sling, the
so
carrier.
She did a phenomenal job getting. It's very hard to get a present for somebody who doesn't even know that they want it.
Right.
That is a tough.
Sort of like inventing the iPad. You know, like, how do you create something everybody wants, but nobody knows
that they want it?
That they want it.
Right. Again, just a testament to Haley's fitment. Feminine genius.
Yeah, totally. So we have something like this in our cabin in Michigan. We use it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It really is very, very nice. You just go out, and you got me one for Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, which I love.
I liked it so much that I was like, well, I guess I got to get Dave one for Christmas.
Yeah, and when I got it, I was like, that's, of course. We use this in Michigan all the time. Why wouldn't I think to have one
at your house?
At my house, where I burn firewood all the time, you know.
Right.
And a lot more.
It's different for like it's different between that and a wheelbarrow, because like a wheelbarrow, you're carrying it outside.
Yeah, my mom gets, or Pamela gets mad when I bring the wheelbarrow inside, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the sling, you know, the carrier is for,
even though the kids love it,
bringing the wood inside the house.
Yeah.
So I have a different wood carrier than you. So why don't you describe your wood carrier?
Well, mine is just like a sling. It's a big leather sling.
It's a is it leather or canvas?
It's leather. It's leather.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it's real thick leather. So it's it's very nice with handles on. So you just put the wood in the sling, and you just, you know, you carry, bring in enough that the handles will come back around on, you know, so you can carry it. And It's good. You can carry definitely carry more that way than in your arm.
Right. And the one I have, it's not an actual like sling. It's almost like just a box with mm-hmm. handles on it. So it has four walls as opposed to just the two, like one sling.
Right. So you could, if you had like smaller like kindling or something, mm-hmm. you could put it in there and it wouldn't fall out.
So the advantage of that, I think, would be that it's a lot less messy because it's all contained inside the four walls. Mm-hmm. Your sling, you know, if you accidentally drop one side of it or something, it could all the bark or whatever could get messy. Sure. But I have the box, and what I actually do is, you know, there's the stand that has all your poker and your shovel and your brush and all, you mm-hmm. know, all your firewood kit accessories. And it has a little arc on there for you to stack your wood. And what I actually do is I just carry that and put the carrier in right there.
Yeah. So in Michigan, the one we have, there's like a V-shaped metal thing we keep by the...
A V-shaped metal thing.
It's a V. It's like this. And the handles slide over the points of the V
mm-hmm.
so that it just sits there and... holds the wood like that, which is kind of nice too. It's kind of the same thing as what you've got.
I found that when the weather gets cold, so there's this Venn diagram when the weather gets cold, and one circle is people who say, "Oh, I hate the cold. I'm ready for a summer."
Yeah.
And the other Venn diagram is, I can't wait to snuggle up by next to a fire and drink a whiskey.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's an intersection of kind of
the overlap
of both of people. And then there's like not on this map is like California, who doesn't get bad weather. And we don't, you know, those people are, they just don't have bad weather.
Yeah. That's why they're weak.
that's why they definitely need XS 90.
Yeah. Big time.
But, so, you know, with the weather getting cold, the weather here in Oklahoma has been crazy this weekend. It was, snow, tornado warning, 60 degrees on Monday. It's been wild.
Yeah.
But
even though tornadoes, like nothing ever really happens. Tornadoes are not as people who don't live in Oklahoma, they think tornadoes are like this ominous, crazy, like we're all going to die. But like, they're not that bad.
There's a lot of warnings and watches that.
Most of the time they don't touch down. And, you know, it's not like a hurricane where like everybody is going to get destroyed.
Right.
But how does this man gear relate to the topic?
Well,
we're talking about godparents today.
We're going to talk about godparents. And before the episode, I was kind of trying to connect the dots, and then you brought something up that was even better. So I'll let you take it.
So it's for carrying wood.
Right.
And it reminded me of Isaac carrying the wood up the mountain for the sacrifice. You know, in that way he prefigured Christ. He didn't actually know that he was, you know, going to be the sacrifice on his way up there, you know, but,
Dad.
But, you know, we're all called to carry our cross, and godparents are like this, where, you know, when you're using a firewood carrier, who's carrying the wood, you or the firewood carrier? Well, you are, you're carrying the wood, but the firewood carrier is helping you to do it better, more easily. You know, more efficiently.
Yeah.
Right. In a way that, you know, now you're not burdened as much by the cross that you're carrying. And so in some ways, the firewood carrier is like a godparent when a godparent is done well.
We'll talk about.
That they could help you learn the ways of the faith so that your cross is not so much a burden as it is a sanctification.
Yes. Boom.
Boom. Roasted.
I don't know if that was roasted, but...
Somebody is.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Isaac wasn't.
No, not Isaac, but that ram.
That ram did not...
Wrong place at the wrong time, buddy.
Got caught in that thicket.
Yep.
Gotta watch out for those.
Your mom told you not to go in the thicket. Your ram mother told you. You didn't listen.
We'll talk about godparents when we get back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
I want to give a shout out to Juan being on point this evening. Getting back into the groove.
Totally dominating the buttons. Even though he doesn't even push the buttons. We always talk about the buttons. I have all these beautiful buttons programmed for him. He doesn't even use them.
He likes the manual.
He does the mouse. He uses mouse clicks. He's really a clicker more than a button pusher.
Yeah. We're drinking a little bit of the Dalmore Portwood Reserve.
Yeah. And just in case you're just listening to us on the podcast and not watching us on Facebook, you should really check us out on Facebook. You get to hear quality stuff.
In between segments.
Like, what did they do with John Paul II's socks? What did they do with
them? Or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel because I just upload
the raw video. Thing, yeah.
So you can do that.
So
also,
check us out.
Also, what you could do is you could support the Catholic Man Show on Patreon, patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. Dave, one of the things that we're doing this year is we're giving a 10-part series with our wives for the Patreon. We're actually doing it for the diocese, but we're adding it to our Patreon as a extra bonus. And the first one's coming out this week.
Yeah, I got mine in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, I did too. And then also what we're doing is we're going to be recording some of the encyclicals, homilies, things like from that the church has given us from a long time ago that people don't know about or haven't thought about.
Right.
And you can listen to that. So support us on the Catholic Man Show. The only way we can continue going is by your support, and 100% of your donations go back to the show. One of the things you get by supporting is you get into this Facebook group, and we talk about all different kinds of things. One of the things we talked about recently is Rafi, who we met at the camp out.
The camp out, yep.
Asked a very important question, which kind of led to this topic this evening on godparents. He was asking why, like, who should you look for in a godparent? Like, what should you be looking for? Who should you be thinking about as a godparent? What's the purpose of them? You know, and so he asked all these questions. We had a great discussion. Father Brian O'Brien, shout out to our good friend Father Brian O'Brien, chimed in. He gave a great response, I thought.
Yeah, it's nice to have priests on the council who can weigh in.
Father Donovan's on there
as well. Yeah, because every now and then a question will come up and it's like,
Father Ketterer.
I could give an answer. I could give like...
Father Sean O'Brien.
What I think the answer is, but it'd be nice if...
Father Kelly Edwards
like
is on
there.
Like
a priest, yeah.
Really great priest. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. There's more.
And one of the things that... a benefit of doing this show, Dave, is that... And we've talked about this before.
Is the alcohol.
Is the alcohol. And being able to get receive free stuff.
Yeah,
that's
free
really
stuff.
The reason why we do this show is we want free stuff.
Yep.
But another benefit is that it forces us to dive deeper into our faith and reevaluate how we're living our life as a Catholic.
Yeah, because if you're going to talk about something on air, you have to kind of like learn about it first.
And know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
And as I was learning a little bit more about the history of godparents, and I started thinking like, man, I'm not doing the best job I could as a godparent. So it kind of reinvigorated me, especially like as we're going through Exodus 90 soon, to remind myself to be a better godparent and to offer up some of these sacrifices for my godchildren.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think the best thing to do is maybe we start with the history of godparents.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning.
Beginning is a good place to start.
Good place to start.
So originally the history of godparents, it had a twofold aspect to it. And remember that at this point in time, in early Christianity, it wasn't legal to be a Christian. And so there was a lot of persecution in the church.
Yeah.
You had to kind of at times be hush hush about being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So the twofold aspect of being a godparent was basically a catechist to make sure that the person who was coming into the faith learned the faith and understood like what the faith was all about.
Yeah.
And then also in the second fold was like making sure that like vouching for this person, saying like
that they're not a spy.
That they're not basically like,
because that was happening. People were joining the church just to rat people out to the Romans, and then they'd come kill everybody.
And there was like a constant tendency of like pagan traits or pagan traditions seeping into the Christian
faith.
Right,
yeah. Is this guy serious about joining, or does he just want to do it as like a social club, but really he's got no interest in practicing, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. So, I mean, you know, the godparents were like the spiritual guides of the children of the parents from that time period.
And we still, I mean, those still, those things still exist in the RCIA program, which is right. soon to be changed to the RCIO program, but, or OCIA, OCIA, not RCIA. It's the Order of Christian Initiation instead of Rite of Christianity. But yeah, so we still have those things. We're less worried about getting ratted out to the Romans today. But the that tradition is still stuck around. So what we think of as RCIA sponsors is the like original form of godparents. Is that what you're saying?
There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And so, but around like 800 when infant baptism, 800 AD, when infant baptism kind of became predominant.
So it didn't, infant baptism didn't start till then, because that, in the Bible, there's,
I mean,
you hear about how entire households joined the faith, you know, so you could assume that there might be little children involved.
Sure. Absolutely. There are,
but it wasn't necessarily the practice,
the like practice,
your baby's born, you baptize
because,
them.
You know, they also had the, you know, the understanding, you know, the baptism wiped away all your sins, you know.
Right. Yeah, some people waited until their deathbed.
Right. And so,
which is a bold move, really.
It's really so anyway, so as the church, you know, in her wisdom said, you know,
not everybody has a deathbed.
Right.
Some people have a death field.
Yeah.
Or a death toilet or some, you know, like sometimes you just die.
Elvis. Yeah. That's why it's good to pray for a holy death to Saint Joseph.
Yeah.
Ask Saint Joseph for a holy
long-term death. Illness is the way to go. You can long-term illness. I think about this, like you can prepare for your death. What a blessing to be able to, like, you know, you're going to die in the next week. You can get ready. I mean, like there's suffering involved, but I mean, you're about to die.
Right. So in 800, around 800, whenever infant baptism kind of was predominant, the tradition.
Yeah.
Godparents became more of what they are like today, where they're supposed to be helping the parent raise the kid in a spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
And helping them teach the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that's kind of where the history of the godparent came. Because, you know, back then, both, you know, life expectancy was very short. It was much shorter.
Yeah.
And so if your parents died all of a sudden and you're a Christian, you need to, you want to have your kids who may not know the faith be raised under the wing of somebody else who knows the faith as well. And so that's why they made sure they have a godparent.
Tutelage was much more common in general back then, education or whatever.
Right. So the church in her wisdom has given us guidelines of how to pick and the requirements of what a godparent is.
Okay.
Which, you know, I was just like, you know, reading the code of canon law.
Yeah, just in Latin.
On a Wednesday.
Right, just for fun.
I was
fun.
Thinking like, man, this, you know, would be a great thing to do as I'm sipping this burgundy and having a fire and having classical music play.
Yeah, eating raw tuna.
Yeah, definitely read the code of canon law.
Yeah, in Latin.
In Latin. And then, yeah. So anyway, so there's a couple different things that the requirements of godparents, which we can talk about also on the other side of the break. But one of they must be at least 16 years of age.
Okay.
They must be a baptized Catholic who has completed the sacraments of the Eucharist and confirmation.
Okay.
So they must have confirmation.
So full initiation.
Full initiation into the church.
Because baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, full initiation.
Right. They may not be the parent of the child being baptized, so you cannot be your own godparent to your kid, because that would kind of defeat the whole purpose.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And one of the beautiful things about godparents, I think, is that it reinstitutes the idea that we are made for community. It almost like is it, it
that it takes a village.
It
yeah,
takes,
we need to depend on
like,
each
it's
other.
Like, I need other people to help me raise even my kids.
Yeah, there's a humility that says, I, even though I'm going to do my best, it might not be enough in order to do this job well. You know,
I need other people.
Or that you might not that you might not, you just aren't.
Right.
You know,
so I when I was reading through this, I thought, man, that's a good point is that it's really focusing on making sure that, listen, we're made for being in communion with other people. We're not made to do this solo.
Right.
This isn't a solo journey.
Right. Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise we would have asexual reproduction, you know, and the marriage itself is a community.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing, and by the way, I didn't say this at the beginning, but this is Canon 874, if you want to go read that on a Wednesday. If married, they must be married in the Catholic Church regularly.
So if you're going to have spouses.
Yeah, so
there can be no scandal. Because otherwise, there's a scandal. They're living in a state of scandal.
Right. And so, actually, you only need one godparent.
Right.
You don't need two. You don't have to have two. For it to be valid.
Oh, so I see. So it's not that if you're picking married a couple, but if the one person you're picking married.
No. I'm just saying you just have to have.
But
one.
I was misunderstanding that at first. I was thinking like if you're picking a husband and wife, they have to be married in the Catholic Church. But what you mean is if you're picking a man and that man is married and he's Catholic, he has to be married in the Catholic Church.
Correct.
But
you don't need to have a godmother.
Right. You can have a godmother, right?
Well, you can have a godmother.
And no godfather.
Or a godfather.
You just need one godparent.
You need one godparent. Yeah.
But if they're married, they have to have a valid sacramental marriage.
Right. So they must be regularly attending Mass on Sunday, going to confession, and living the faith, not living in sin. The two godparents do not have to be married to one another.
So they must be they have to be at least bare minimum Catholics.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to be practicing Catholics.
Yeah.
The baptized non-Catholic may be a godparent, but may serve as a witness along with the Catholic godparent. So that's something that I want to talk about because it's like a Catholic witness.
Yeah.
Because that's a question that comes up a lot. It's like, what if I want a godparent who is not Catholic to be my child's godparent?
Okay.
So we'll talk about that on the other side. I'll let you close it out.
Good. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is David Niles here with Adam Minahan and Juan Posada. We're talking about godparents today. We got a lot to get through here because there's some big stuff. We're talking about godparents. One of them has to be Catholic. You can have a non-Catholic witness.
Right. So the church, you know,
as like a fake godparent, if you want.
Not a fake godparent.
You're a fake godparent. You're not a godparent. You're a Catholic. You're a Christian witness. You're not
witness.
A godparent.
So if there's somebody in your life
you're a fake
that,
godparent.
That may be a baptized Christian who is living virtuously, who is a part of your life on a regular basis, who you think could help build Christian virtue in your child, you could have them be a Christian witness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a terrible idea. I just think that's a ridiculous, why are you doing that? You know,
well, what if they don't have a good Catholic friend?
Well, don't pick this other person. Just only have one. Don't give this other, there's no reason to do this. It just makes me mad because selecting a godparent is not a popularity contest. It's not like, oh, they picked us, so now we need to pick them. You know, like, as if let's just trade our kids, God's, it's like we're like dealing in godparents here or something. You should be picking the godparents who you think are the holiest people that you know, who you're friends with. I mean, don't just pick Scott and Kimberly Hahn as your guy. I mean, you don't know them. I mean,
I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Catholic names.
Someone who is in your community, who's in your life, who you say, this is the holiest person I know.
That's going to be a part of my life.
Yeah. It could be your parish priest. I mean, if you're like have a good relationship with your priest, it could be him.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's not. But it's like, who is the holiest person you know? Make them the godparents.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to always be the same person, but it's not a popularity contest. And to me, if you're picking someone who's not Catholic to be this, like to be there, even though they might be your best friend, like I'm not saying that they're not important to you, but they're not Catholic.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here. It's not a popularity contest. They might be very, very good people.
Right. Our good friend Thomas Lackey, you were telling me before the show started.
All their kids have the same godparents because, like, to them, there's this other family that's very important in their lives, and they're a very good, devout Catholic family. So, like, they are the godparents of all their children.
Right.
And that, to me, that makes sense. Right. I get why you do that.
Mm-hmm. So a non-baptized person cannot be a godparent. Also, if for some reason, like, let's say little Johnny, you have godparents for little Johnny, and the godparents at the time were really good Catholics, and maybe they fell away from the church.
Yeah.
You cannot have new godparents.
No, no.
It's not like you can say, oh, I want to redo.
Yeah. Mine got divorced.
Yeah, yeah, you can't do that.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, but you know, you have to make sure that they're an active practicing Catholic, meaning they're following all the precepts of the church, which you can go to Catechism 2041 and following for all okay. the like here's the guidelines of yeah. being a active Catholic.
That's what you're looking for.
Pick those kind of people.
Someone because the job of the godparent bare minimum is to pray for them every day. You should be, if you're a godparent, you need to be praying for your kids, your godkids, godchildren every day.
This is a perfect segue. So I think we should talk really quick about if you're a godparent, how to be a good godparent to your godchildren. I came up with five really quick, and then I want to get your thoughts on them.
Okay.
First is like enroll them in a perpetual mass.
Boom.
I think that's a phenomenal thing.
I have not done that, but I need to.
I have not either, but I'm going to. It like hit me. I was like, I should do that. And a lot of religious organizations will, if you donate to them, they'll ask you, like, do you have an intention that we can offer up?
Yeah.
In
salvation of my godchildren.
Right. And that would be a perfect thing.
And actual children.
Yeah. Obviously. But so enroll them in a perpetual mass. It doesn't cost very much most of the time, and it's a beautiful way of
also if you don't know what a
opening the door to grace.
If you don't know what a perpetual mass is, Google it.
Right.
Blow your mind.
The other one is just be present, be intentional, like attend as many family activities as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Juan does a phenomenal job of this. He takes his godparenting role very, very seriously.
Yeah, you're probably the best godparent I know, Juan.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, just being present, you know, even if you have a family that maybe you're the only Catholic in your family, to invite your godparent, you know, your child's godparent to the event,
mm-hmm.
like, take...
That's
like,
the thing, is they should be someone in your life. It shouldn't be... And, like, pick someone who you think is going to be around. That's the other thing, is that you might know somebody... But if they are in the military or, you know, like have a job where they might get relocated,
mm-hmm.
maybe they're not the best candidate. That's up to you to decide. But if they leave and, you know, are across the country.
It's tough.
It's tough because their job is a spiritual one, but it's also a real one, like where they should be there and they should. A child should know their godparents.
And let's say that maybe you did move for an unforeseen reason.
That's going to happen. You can't.
Right. So I think that what you need to do is make sure you birthday cards, graduation cards.
Right. Yeah.
Sending out.
Amazon has free delivery if you're a Prime member. Okay. You know, you can have something sent to their address.
Right. But I mean, you just want to be present in their lives. I'm trying my best to stay in the habit of writing down on Sundays, like writing letters to people. Like,
oh man, that's a good idea.
I'm still doing that. I'm not doing it every Sunday. But anyway, just write a letter to them.
Word.
Be active. Another one is offer a holy hour or like Exodus 90, the men who are starting Exodus 90, like
offer your cold showers for them or something.
Yeah. Offer up something. And then the fifth one that Juan does that I was like, man, I don't do this at all. And I'm a bad godparent apparently, but is take them out on one-on-one dates.
Yeah.
You know, like be
active. Once they get old enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like go take them out, go do stuff. Mm-hmm. Let them see you as a, you know, like this, you know, Dave is a good role model for, you know,
the children need reinforcement when they just hear things from mom and dad. It's one thing, but when they, like when we all get our kids together to pray and the kids see everybody, you know, doing the sign of the cross and praying before meals, all of a sudden it's reinforced. It's like, oh, this is what we've been learning. And now all of a sudden, boom, it's like solidified.
Right.
You know, so when they see other people doing the same thing that they've been learning at home, you know,
it only reinforces what you've been trying to do in the domestic church for as long as they've grown up.
So maybe we'll save my question about can godparents bless their godchildren for segment 5.
Okay.
Which will be on Facebook and YouTube.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Do you have any other ways of being a good godparent? Have you thought, like...
So I pray for all my godchildren by name every day.
How many do you have?
5.
You have 5?
Mm-hmm.
I have 6.
Do you?
Yes.
Nice. I didn't know you had more than me. When did you get more than me?
I thought
I was totally winning this contest.
No, I'm holier.
I'm winning.
Well, Juan has 15 or something. Oh, you have 10? 10.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. That is crazy. That's what happens when you buy people a huge, huge. When I asked
you haven't even bought me my whiskey yet, Juan.
When I asked him to be the godparent of one of my children, I got the biggest bottle of whiskey I'd ever seen.
He hasn't even, he's one of my.
He got lost in the airport.
He got lost in the airport.
I tell his car a dark horse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. That's really sad. Dang it, TSA. Talk about perks of a job right there. You probably get free stuff like every day.
But I think as a dad, if you're trying to figure out who can be your godparent, you want to make sure that they're obviously active in the Catholic Church,
yeah,
taking their faith seriously, mm-hmm, that you think that they're going to be they're going to be present in your life. So that, and it's not something like, oh, well, Dave was my best man at my wedding. So, he's going to be
the godparent.
He's going to be my godparent.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
You're the godparents of a child whose parents are no longer practicing. What do you do?
So I'm experiencing that right now. Like my very first, I'm experiencing that right now.
Okay.
And the only thing that I've asked for counsel on this from priests, and the things that they've told me to do is try to stay active and be, sending things that show that, my religion is important. Meaning like, so
it's a tough conversation to have.
So, but it's easy.
If you're going to talk about it with the parents,
but it's easy to do because their baptism date. So every year on their baptism date, send them a card and whatever they
make
like.
Make sure to write down their baptism date in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. But send them something.
You could. You'd have to the tone of this conversation is very important. But if you sit down with the parents, like maybe don't go over there just for this reason. But if when you're with them, like, hey, one thing that's, I'm the godparent of so-and-so. And look, it's not my job to, I'm not here to make judge you and like throw rocks at you right now, stones, but my godchild, they're not going to mass, and I took a promise to help raise them, and it's just like it's eating at me that I'm not able to do this. Can I pick him up, to take him to mass with with my family on Sunday? Is that okay? Just so it's not, because you run the risk if you damage the relationship between parents, then your relationship with the godchild is gone. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Right.
So you need to try. But if the parents are your friends, you should be concerned for their souls as well. It's difficult.
Right.
Certainly you got to be praying, but I think depending on the relationship, that's something you could do. That would be a big sacrifice for your family to have to go pick up somebody else.
My mom does that. My mom picks up a lady every Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, but think about if you're doing it when you have kids. We're already running late for Mass.
We're running late for next Sunday's Mass right now.
Exactly.
Currently, we're running late.
The church bell that rings that says, like, hey, Father's walking down the aisle. It's like, sometimes I hear that as we're walking in the door.
It's tough.
Kids, run!
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think we need to take, as godparents, we need to take our role seriously. I think it's great. The men who are joining Exodus 90, that's a great way to start taking it seriously. You're going to be adding a lot of prayer and penances.
So many opportunities.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, you can just make every time that you pray a rosary, just add for all your godchildren as well.
Name them individually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and then when we're going to continue the conversation.
We're going to talk about blessing godparents.
And we're going to
godchildren.
You can hear that on YouTube or Facebook.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.